Okay, so we just had a very exciting couple of days at the Microsoft Build Conference in San Francisco. A lot of exciting announcements about Windows 10, about the Windows 10 Universal App Platform, and what it's going to look like going forward. So, one of the things that I wanted to do was to basically start a series of videos and blog posts called Quick Tips with Windows 10 that will kind of get us going. And we'll start with an intro here to what the Universal App Platform looks like for Windows 10 versus what it looked like for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1. And then we'll kind of progress from there and get some hands-on examples and some extra content around it. So, again, just want to start here with an intro to what a Universal App is and what the Universal App Platform is for Windows 10 versus what we might have been used to. With Windows 8. So first of all, with Windows 8, 0.1 Universal Apps, the way it worked was, and I'll pull up an example here with Visual Studio 2013 and show the Solution Explorer. But what happened was we ended up having these three different heads of our project. So we had the Windows head, we had the Windows Phone, and then we had the shared. So the idea was to take everything from the shared and actually put as much in the shared as possible, but take everything from the shared and basically just copy it up into either the Windows Phone or the Windows Phone, I'm sorry, either the Windows or the Windows Phone projects when we actually deploy, right? So everything in the shared folder literally just got copied into the two respective folders, Windows or Windows Phone. And what that meant was when we would submit to the store, if we wanted to submit an application, we would have to build and test separately on both Windows and Windows Phone. We would have to create separate packages to submit to two different stores. So a Windows Store, Windows Phone Store, they each have their own package that you have to create in Visual Studio. So now let me switch over to Visual Studio 2015, and just as an FYI, you'll need to be running Windows 10 to build a Windows 10 app. It seems to make sense. And you'll be running Visual Studio 2015. So these Visual Studio 2015 and Windows 10 are still currently kind of in preview, but I've been playing around with it for about a month or so. So it's definitely enough to get started with. But now, if we look in our Solution Explorer, we see that we only have one project, right? There's not a separate project for Windows. There's not a separate project for Windows Phone, and there's no more shared. So what's going to happen now is that you're going to have this one code base, all of these files here, and you're going to basically create one binary when you're ready to submit an application, and you're going to submit it to one store, and it's going to span all of the different devices that can run Windows 10. So Windows 10 can be run on phones, tablets, laptops, desktops, Xbox, all the way up to screens as big as like the Surface Hub, however big you want to make it. So you're really looking at, instead of designing for specific devices, you're designing towards the screen size that you have. So obviously the big thing that we talked about with Universal Apps previously was adapting, or not, actually we didn't talk about much adapting. We talked about designing your UI differently depending on the platform that you were looking at. So obviously a Windows application typically is more horizontal versus a phone application more vertical. Different screen sizes, different screen orientations, and stuff like that. So you had to be able to look at that and know how to develop for each. Now, what we're looking at are things that can span and adapt, kind of like responsive web design, two different screen sizes. So this is a little bit different, where we're not just designing specifically for something and then designing specifically for something else. We're designing and then having it adapt to the different screen sizes. That way, when it's running on a phone, it looks like a phone app. And then that same binary adapts as it gets bigger across tablet, across Windows, PCs and desktops, across all those different things. So one of the examples here, I'm going to change this around a little bit and just take a second in the designer. One of the examples here that shows this is this main page.xaml here. We've got Got it looking at a 13-inch desktop, but I can change this down to a 10-inch IoT device. I can change this down to a 42, a 4-inch, a 4.5-inch phone. And I can change it to a 12-inch tablet as well. So all of these different things I can see in here. And previously, we just had the option of either kind of a generic phone or a generic Windows device. So we can see all of these different devices, and we need to, as the developer, again, kind of scale with the different sizes. And the way we can do that is with some new features around adaptive triggers. And this will be one of the blog posts coming up soon, but adaptive triggers can basically, you can define certain size ranges. So if you say, I declare a certain trigger for a certain size, let's say you break it up into phone, tablet, and desktop. When that size hits, if you resize, let's say you take it, take a Windows 10 application, just like you can with any of these modern applications, and resize them completely, as they shrink down, you'll hit those different triggers for the different phone, tablet, and desktop, and it'll show whatever changes you make within the trigger. So that, it might sound a little confusing. We'll see what that looks like, but just know that you get the ability to adapt to the different screen sizes so that you make sure you cover all these different devices that we can hit with Windows 10. So another one of the differences here with doing specific, let's say we want to do like specific APIs, something that only the phone has, only the desktop has, whatever that might be. And the example that they typically use is trapping the back button or working with the back button on a Windows phone. We used to have the pound if statements, the compiler statements, to see if we're running on a Windows device or a Windows phone device. We no longer do that. We don't really check device specifically. We check to see if the device we are on, whatever it is, has the capability to work with the specific API that we want to use. So it's a kind of a small difference, but a very different mindset when we develop. And we'll get a chance to see what that looks like in a coming video as well. But just know that you're really designing not to a specific device. You're designing towards kind of screen size. And then you're coding logically. If you need something specific, you're not checking to see if you're running on a phone. You're checking to see if a certain API is available on this device. Right? So a slightly different mentality than what we got used to with the Windows 8.1 universal apps. But kind of exciting and really more flexible to focus on the true variety and array of devices that run on Windows 10. One of the other things that will be covered are some new controls. So they've got a couple of different ones. There's a relative control, or a relative panel control, I guess is what it's called. And this helps with adapting screen sizes. So basically you can say, I want this block to be to the right of this block, and then if the screen shrinks down, put that block beneath the first block, right? So that's using an adaptive trigger to switch it from being basically a horizontal landscape down to a vertical one if you're running on phone, because you have more real estate that way, and that's typically how you look at a phone versus a tablet or a desktop PC. So those are some of the changes. One more control is the split view. So this is, a lot of people use this as the hamburger button. And we'll have one working with this also, but the hamburger button is not necessarily built into the split view. The split view is just like a basic panel that you can use, and you can customize everything that's on it, how to interact with it, and what it looks like when it comes out. So those are just a couple of the different differences. Just wanted, like I said, to give kind of a quick intro to what Windows 10 looks like now as far as universal apps, what the differences are between Windows 10 and Windows 8 universal apps. And to get started, like I said, you'll need to be running with the Windows 10 technical preview at this point. I don't know the actual release date. We'll see when that actually comes out. But you can run the preview and then run the Visual Studio 2015 as well. So keep Keep looking out for more videos on some of those different features that I talked about, and more blog posts as well. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at James Q. Quick.